Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
And Alvarez crushes one to right field. Stanton will watch this one go. A line drive missile. Number 44 adds two to the board. It's 5-1.
Yordan had that one. Martin Maldonado had another. And Jake Myers had 2 3-run bombs. And still, it was very hard for the Astros to eke out a 9-7 win over the New York Yankees yesterday to salvage a split. The Astros let us down this weekend. The Yankees are reeling. They're not playing anywhere close to the level that they were at last year, specifically in the first half. And maybe they never were that good to begin with. But you should have won 3 of 4. And with the way Texas is playing, they've won 6 in a row. With the way Seattle's now playing as well, they've won 5 in a row and are just 3.5 games back of the Astros, who are 2.5 games back of the Rangers right now. I think it's a missed opportunity. And I'm just going to list all the spots where I felt like the Astros could have been better. First off, 2 hits on Saturday in one of the losses. Kendall Graveman, not looking so good since he's been aboard in the 2 appearances he has against the Yankees, a 7.71 ERA. And Sunday, 12 walks. I'll allow some room for error for Jose Urquidy in his first game back, but Phil Maton comes into the game with the bases loaded. He walks 2 people in, and then he hits a guy. Brian Abreu's getting called for a pitch clock violation when he's coming in to close the game. Hector Neris not looking so good. Like, J.P. France is really the only pitcher for the Astros yesterday that pitched well. And you got to wonder, okay, Dusty, why wasn't he the one that was on the hill to begin with, given how well he's pitched of late? And I know they're moving to a 6-man rotation, and it's not the end of the world, and that they won the game, but you split a series with a team like New York that has one good player, Aaron Judge. You could argue Garrett Cole, too, but he's a pitcher. He went 0-for-12 with 6 strikeouts in the series, and this team that can't hit still took 2 of 4 from you. Not good enough. Not good enough. We got Tab calling in now. Oh, great. To rub salt in the wound. Tab, what's going on?
Hey, don't I deserve to rub a little salt?
Tab?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You're kind of in and out, a little bit patchy, but what you got?
Well, again, y'all were talking about how y'all were going to make up ground on us. Well, we've swept 2 series.
Yeah.
And y'all can't even sweep the Yankees.
I mean, I feel the same way.
Now y'all
are going to
be playing Baltimore.
I feel the same way about that right now, Tab. I mean, they should have taken at least 3 or 4 over the weekend against the Yankees. But, I mean, there's still a lot of time left, and it's only a 2.5 game up on the division. Yeah, you won 6 in a row, but are you feeling so good after that last series that you played against the Astros? And I get it. You guys rocked Framber Valdez because he had a weird moment on the mound. But I don't know, man. 2 months left in the season, you have a pretty difficult stretch of the schedule coming up after the Astros get through against Baltimore. I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't be too cocky because of one weekend.
Well, I think the Rangers are going to,
all right, Tab, sorry, your phone sucks. Your phone sucks today. We'll do this another time. I thought this would be a little bit more fun. What's going on with his phone? Is he on, like, what, Metro PCS?
Yeah, yeah. Or he has the phone that's still connected to the wall, and you have one part to talk in and one part to listen.
At least that would have been a clear connection, though, Sean. Like, those phones actually are better than a lot of cell signals, but HRW underscore S1W, Tab on a Cricket phone. Yeah, we got to... got to have a better phone connection for that one.
Also,
can we get a landline for Tab?
Also, I'm glad that Tab has learned how to work the phone again.
He has.
He didn't call for months at a time.
He did call for a while, and I mean...
But, hey, he found, you know, he
two and
found,
a half
he found
games
out
up.
How to use the phone again.
2.5 games up. So we'll see where Tab goes from here. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. 713 texter tapped us to get off Boost Mobile. And from the 713, remind Tab the Rangers just list third baseman. I have no idea what that means, but there you go. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. We have Ryan calling in next. Ryan, what you got?
What's going on, Mr. Pauly G? I think you should bully your way into the White House because, like, that was a really good show, and I enjoy you on drive time. So please get on the White House. Let's go.
Appreciate you. Wait, get on the White House? Do you want me to talk about the Astros not rejecting Joe Biden's invitation to the White House? It would be really funny if the same energy was used to cover people visiting Joe Biden in the White House that was for Trump. I feel like we've gotten to the point now where it's super annoying to talk about who's going to visit and who isn't going to visit the White House. Because I'm of the mindset of like, who effing cares? Do we have to have a take on something like that? But that's where they are today. And I think they should be boycotting the White House because they need to get their heads out of their ass after not sweeping the Yankees over the weekend.
Yeah, they need to be working on the fundamentals.
Yeah.
That's what they need to take it down to the basics.
Fundamentals in the middle of the season. And listen, I mean, for all we know, certain presidents might stumble seeing as they've been having a difficult time walking and talking. And like the next thing we know, the Astros are going to be at the center of a controversy where they're going to be accused of trying to assassinate the president. Like, all it's going to take is Joe Biden to have an accidental spill or something like that, walking or down or upstairs. And guess what will happen? Everyone will start blaming the Houston Astros for trying to kill the president. This is a no-win scenario. There's no win here, okay? If something bad happens there, the Astros will be blamed for it.
Now, I trust the Astros medical staff to be on top of it.
I don't know. Yeah, what are you talking about,
Dusty
John?
Dusty Baker being like, yeah. He's healthy, but he's sore, right?
I do want to have Dusty Baker get asked about Joe Biden's status.
This has to be the oldest like coach and president team up in one of these photo ops, right? Like there can't have been an older Dusty Baker and Joe Biden. Just what did they talk about?
Gotta
say, Pony Express.
I gotta say, it's pretty sad that Dusty Baker is that much more with it than a person who I believe is similarly aged. But that's neither here nor there, okay? It's different. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I did want to talk really quickly about the death of the Pac-12, which is now the Pac-4. Over the weekend, the exodus continued. Colorado left first for the Big 12. Oregon and Washington joined USC and UCLA in the Big Ten. Those are the other two biggest programs from a financial perspective in the Pac-12, formerly Pac-12. So then Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah all joined the Big 12, leaving California, Stanford, the nerd schools, and Oregon State and Washington State, the poor schools in the middle of nowhere, as the only four teams left in the conference. It sucks. And I know there's a lot of people out there that like college football more than they like the NFL. If you're a fan of a program that is safe, you're probably feeling all right. If you're somebody that has a school now in the Big 12, you're feeling pretty good about them from a college basketball perspective. They will survive there, that's for sure. That's the best college basketball conference if they added Arizona. But if you're taking a look at the long-term survival for some of the schools that didn't get in, I feel bad. And I get that they're trying to find ways to make money and that Fox and ESPN are complicating things with the TV rights deals that they are giving out. But while people aren't going to stop watching because of this, it is slowly killing the actual tradition side of college football, which does in its own way make it a lot cooler than the NFL. Obviously only a couple of teams are truly competing for a national title, where the NFL has created a system of parity that is probably unmatched across American sports leagues. You still have to have a great quarterback and you still have to have an owner who's not a complete idiot. But now in college sports, I am wondering what the point is if you are rooting for one of these schools that now has no chance of competing for a national title and also isn't even getting to compete against local regional powers anymore. Like, oh, okay, so now it's not just the chance of winning a national title is out the window. It's also the chance of playing against the teams that you want to see your school play against on the off chance that they maybe get an upset one time or another. And I think everyone has started to just accept that this just happens every single year, and there will probably be more shifts, and eventually there will probably be a Fox League and a ESPN League. And it'll be a lot like the NFL with the AFC and the NFC down the road. But it just sucks that it keeps on happening. And if you are a college football fan, like, they're slowly stripping away all of the things that do make college football different from the NFL. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in as well. Are you as mad in the Astros as I am after they split this weekend series against the New York Yankees? Plus, an old friend could be returning to the team in the near future. Stick around. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
Tired of being the trail donkeys, acting like you some one-man GPS?
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
You're damn right, Spencer. Brought my 2017... Reliant Charity Game Most Valuable Player Trophy to the show today, which I, of course, walk to work because that's what I do. Brought in my Houston Texans Flag Champions ring, which I got this weekend after I caught the game-winning touchdown pass. Didn't get the ball thrown my way enough. There are some celebrities that think they are a lot better at football than they actually are that refuse to come off the field. And since I am someone who is a great teammate and listen to my coaches, I actually got off the field. But some of the people that were there, people who are significantly more relevant than me, might I add, but some of the people that were there were acting like they are a lot better than they actually are at football. And I was getting annoyed that I kept on having to line up as the person who was snapping the ball to the quarterback, which meant I could still go out for routes in this game. But I'm still mad about that. Like, honestly, if I had not caught that game-winning touchdown pass, which I did, of course, because give me the effing ball. But if I hadn't caught that, I would probably still be mad, and it would have ruined my weekend. But I did catch it, and it changed my mood entirely because I caught that one pass. But I didn't have the ball thrown nearly enough my way. Right now, you know, I'm taking a look at a post that the coach of my team made, and there's no credit given to me. There's some random guy who – where does this guy work? I have to look this up, and I'm sorry. This sounds terrible in the air. But this,
Paul Beckham Jr. over here.
Yes, essentially.
Your diva receiver, Paul.
What's his name? Keyoti Brown thought he was much better than he actually was. Gotta say. Like, dude, you should be the center. I'm faster than you. And maybe some stereotyping was going on. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not bitter about this at all. I'm not a psychopath. There were moments where I was like, I need to calm down, because I was getting mad that they were like putting kids on the field too. I was like, I came out here to play. And here I am on the bench as girls are playing against each other. Put me on the field. But of course, you know, I did what I needed to do. Anyway, hey, guys, bad news from Houston Texans training camp today. So Titus Howard left practice on Saturday. Today, the announcement, per D'Amico Ryans, is that Howard has a hand injury. He'll be out for a while. When asked if that meant he'll be out for the preseason, Ryans said, I'll let y'all know later. So the good news is it's not a leg injury or a pec injury or one of those injuries that theoretically could keep Titus Howard out for the entirety of the year. But if we're talking a hand injury, I'm assuming it is one of those kind of injuries that's going to make it very difficult for Titus Howard to do the thing that he's getting paid to do, which is to put his hands on people. And you have to hope that it's not a wrist injury, because if it's a wrist injury, that's going to take a little bit longer for him to get back out there. If it's a finger, okay, he might be actually able to get back out there in the not-too-distant future. But you add this to Scott Questenberry tearing his ACL, the guy who was your starting center last year. You're hoping it's going to be Juice Scruggs this coming season. Not great, because the Texans have a lot of money invested into this offensive line. So you got some problems at that front. All we can do really at this moment in time is just hope that Howard gets better very quickly, because the last thing I want is to have at right tackle, and it seems like George Fant is the guy who would step in, and I like George Fant. I remember when George Fant was with the Seattle Seahawks. He played with the New York Jets for a couple of years. That was your swing tackle. Now he's going to get thrust into that spot where you had one of the better right tackles in the NFL. What happens with somebody else in that spot? Because the one strength I think on paper that you do have on your team is three of the guys on that offensive line for you. It's Shaq Mason at right guard. It's Titus Howard at right tackle. It's Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. And you're hoping that Kenyon Green steps it up at left guard. You're hoping that Juice Scruggs, second round pick, he steps it up as well. So not good news today from Houston Texans training camp. 713-780-3776 to call and to text in as well. I'm still mad more.
At the flag football
game? No, Sean, no. No.
But yes, you are still mad at that. But that's not what this transition is.
I'm mad about it, but I have to move on. I have to move on. I'm mad about the Astros splitting the series with the Yankees this weekend. Aaron Judge sucked. He is the only good player on the Yankees, outside of Gerrit Cole. And in this series, he goes 0 for 12 with 6 strikeouts. You split it? You had two hits on Saturday against Nestor Cortes and his mustache? You almost gave the game away yesterday? I mean, wake up. I still feel pretty confident that they're going to catch the Rangers. But that wasn't the kind of weekend series that you can really afford to mess around in. And now, after visiting the White House today, you go and take on a Baltimore Orioles team that's been the best team in the American League for a while. How do you feel about that? I'm not feeling great because of what was missed this weekend. It's not the end of the world. I'm just disappointed in the Astros. We have a high standard here, splitting a weekend series with the Yankees, where the Yankees could have very well won that with all of the pitching gaffes that the Astros had yesterday. 12 walks. Phil Maton, dude, what is up? Is he going to need a little injured list stint to clear his head? I mean, it's one thing to walk one guy with the bases loaded. It's another thing to walk two. It's a third to hit a guy with the bases loaded. He struck out one guy, two walks and a hit by pitch with the bases loaded. That is not good, especially considering where he was earlier this year. And now with a, who knows, he's sore but not injured update with Ryan Presley, who wasn't available yesterday, you got to wonder who in this bullpen, when push comes to shove, are you turning to? I don't know at this moment in time. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in from the Twitch. Astros will get the Biden bump like the economy. Oh, okay. Well, that would be nice. But what kind of bump are we talking about? Are we talking about the like a stimulus check, or are we talking about things found on a laptop? Hey-o! Text in from the 832. We lost because my buddy Jim went to the Friday-Saturday games. He's a jinx. Yeah, but they won on Friday. So what are you talking about?
But they split. They split the gym games.
They split the gym games, okay. Like they won on Friday. They lost on Saturday.
But a split's not good enough. It's not good enough for the Astros, not good enough for Jim.
But you can't argue that was a factor if they won on Friday. You can't argue that.
No, but he got the split juice all over him. The loser split. It's not loser juice. It's split juice.
Split juice. Gotcha. I mean, we don't drink split juice here.
No.
We are cake eaters.
No, full pulp.
Top shelf only. John Singleton. He likes top shelf weed. Guess what? He might be back on the Astros in the very near future. How many of you were aware that John Singleton is in the Astros minor league system? I'll be honest, I had no idea. I thought he was in Milwaukee. But I guess he's back. And since Michael Brantley, it seems more doubtful by the day that he will be back up with the Astros at the plate, even though he did take batting practice on the field, They're looking for a lefty bat, and John Singleton, the Astros' former top prospect, who signed with them in June, is dominating at the AAA level. Slash lines, 339, 455, 704, with 18 extra base hits, 26 walks across his first 143 plate appearances at Sugar Land. He was with Milwaukee for 11 games earlier this year. He's 31 years old. That's crazy to think of. Because I remember when the Astros gave him that contract before he had even reached the majors, and things were so bad for the Astros at that moment in time, I think people were very celebratory about it. Like, finally, the Astros are turning the corner. And nothing ever happened with John Singleton at the major league level. He's one of many guys that were hovering at that, like, AAA. They were too good for AAA, but there was no quadruple A, so they couldn't really, like, get better. Because they were awesome at that level, but then they would get called up to the majors and they would struggle. A.J. Reed was another one of them.
Tyler White.
Tyler White at least had some moments in the majors where he was good. But there are a lot of players that were like in that same little bin of, okay, they're good for AAA, but they're not good enough for the majors.
Also, Chandler Rome just 2 minutes ago tweeted out that the Astros have sent Corey Jolks to AAA.
Oh.
And he threaded the article about John Singleton. He said that would clear a path for Singleton to join the team.
Interesting.
So he's reporting that Jolks is getting sent down and speculating that it could be for Singleton to come up.
That would be
as
something
you're talking.
Else.
You maybe Dana Brown's in his car somewhere and he's like, you know what, Paul's right.
It's time for John Singleton.
You know what? That very athletic flag football player is right.
He knows a thing or two about winning. He does.
Yeah, if he wants to get one of the rings that you're holding up.
Do you want me to sound like a patronizing father in Friday Night Lights? You want one of these, son? You know what you have to do. You gotta light up and add Jonathan Singleton to the equation. Can you be perfect? Can you be perfect? That's what I'm asking you. You weren't perfect this weekend. You know who was perfect this weekend? Your boy who had the game-winning touchdown. Your boy's been an MVP before. He probably should have been MVP, honestly, if we're talking straight back in 2018 as well. Got jobbed out of that because my quarterback left in the middle of the game. This is a true story. What, Sean? Why are you laughing?
It's crazy.
Mr. Dow left in the middle of the game.
It's crazy.
I had to play quarterback.
No, it's
crazy. What was I supposed to do?
It's crazy that you only have one flag football MVP trophy. The same way it's crazy that Kobe Bryant only has one NBA MVP.
No,
trophy.
I mean, that's not that crazy. He's not a team player like me. I played quarterback in that game. And you know what? I threw a beautiful touchdown pass to a female reporter. And guess what happened? Ball hit her in the face and she dropped it. But the ball was on the money. Would we have won? Would I have won MVP? Like subbing in at quarterback because my quarterback, Mr. Gowd, left? I don't know. People are still talking about it to this day.
Yeah, it's like the the Wes Welker catch in the second Giants Super Bowl. It's like, just missed him.
Some comments, silly Simon. I don't want your life. Dana, you can't say that. You're the Astros GM. You do want this life. You want one of these and one of these. Okay? You want the bling. Paul got it. Where's yours? My accent's getting better by the day, I think. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com on the chase long.
On the chase long, on the chase long, on the chase long, all day long, on the chase long.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Someone on the Twitch asked, is Paul the white Wes Welker? I have a lot of questions about that question. Is Wes Welker not white? Number one. Number two, how dare you? He's 5'7". How dare you? How dare you make a same race comparison between two athletes like myself and Wes Welker. You know, Wes Welker, game on the line, pass thrown his way in Super Bowl 46. He didn't catch that ball. Paul Gallant, game on the line, corner of the end zone, ball thrown his way for the game-winning touchdown. He made that catch. Wes wants one of these. I actually don't know what my comparison would be as an athlete, but I'm sure that this bit is getting very, very old. Someone texted in, why do you guys have all this Kobe hate in y'all blood? See, the Kobe people, man, they just can't let it go. I would just say I don't believe he should have been turned into a saint post passing away, even if he had gotten better in life, because just Google Kobe Bryant, Colorado.
Yeah, it also, like, he became a saint, like as he was still playing.
Yes.
Like, we don't have hate in our blood for Kobe. We just don't have the same amount of love.
There's no denying he was a hard worker.
That's kind of weird.
There's no denying he was extremely competitive. There is also no denying that he was, at times, a horrible teammate. And that is, I think, a large reason as to why there were long stretches in his career where his team did not do much, even if he individually was playing well. And I just don't like how people try to force him in to the Michael Jordan versus LeBron greatest of all time discussion. I'm not a LeBron fan at all. Still not going to put him, Kobe Bryant, over him. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you think the press secretary at the White House is going to field questions about the Astros' injuries for Dusty Baker? That would be fun. I would love that. I would love to see Astros media deal with a White House press secretary. Like, how would that go? Because the White House press secretary, look, it's always somebody different. And that person is essentially charged with knowing everything that the president is supposed to be answering the questions for. That's what, and again, it would be kind of dumb if the president of the United States had to do a press conference every single day. But it is kind of funny that NFL coaches are made more regularly available than the president of the United States to the press. And instead they have this press secretary up. And let's throw political affiliations aside. That person is always supposed to be on their A game. And if somebody asks a question, they have to almost like patronizingly sling mud back, depending on where that person works. It's fun.
And you just want to have like Brian McTaggart ask, stick his hand up and be like, what do you think John Singleton's role would be on the Astros? And be like, I don't even know what the press secretary sounds like or how they talk.
It could be a question about the legalization of marijuana on a federal level.
Yeah, just be like,
has your administration indirectly held John Singleton from living his best life and from being a successful baseball player? What do you think? And I'm sure there would be some sort of malarkey, milquetoast non-answer. But I would love to see the Astros media face the White House press secretary, whatever her name is. Anyway, since the Astros are at the White House today, I did think it was a great time to talk about a United States failure that took place over the weekend. The United States women's national team has officially been eliminated from the World Cup after they lost in penalty kicks to Sweden. This World Cup performance featured, after a absolute destruction of Vietnam, one goal over three games. And they honestly only advanced to the round of 16 because Portugal hit the post late in a tie game. Massive failure by the United States women's team. Especially when you looked at the penalty kicks, and the goal that Sweden won on was kind of a BS goal, but it was like, it's a very small fraction of the ball had crossed the goal line, which meant it was a goal. But the U.S. missed on three penalty kicks, including the ever-polarizing Megan Rapinoe, who had this to say about her miss after the match.
It's a tough one, and there's just some dark, dark comedy in me missing a penalty in my last game ever. So, yeah.
Because I was saying with the smile, I mean, was that just pretty much a message that that's football, that's life, things happen?
I mean, that's a sick joke. That's just like... Yeah, I mean, that's a sick joke. I can't believe that. I never even hit them over ever when they're saved. So, yeah, I mean, that's just how it goes.
Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? This is your last game ever, and you blew it? And Megan has made herself the center of many controversies. She's very outspoken, sometimes annoyingly so. I'm more annoyed with her saying, like, well, I want everyone to know before this World Cup, this is going to be my last World Cup, so it's not a distraction for everybody playing in the World Cup, as if the future of the United States women's national team is entirely dependent on her. Like, she's one of many great American soccer players over the years. They lose this game. You hear that quote. It's kind of consistent with the smiling and the taking selfies after advancing past the group stage to the round of 16 after they essentially tied thanks to a ball hitting the post struck by Portugal. And I've looked at the comments under just about every single post about the U.S. women's team, and they are getting destroyed. And I think that there is an unlikable element to them. I would say that a lot of the disdain directed towards the U.S. women's team does seem to come from people leaning a particular way politically, but I'm not even going to look at it through that prism. They talk a lot. They're constantly talking about how they should be paid equally because they're better than the men's team. The last part is true, but, you know, who's watching the men's World Cup versus who's watching the women's World Cup? That's why the money is set up the way that it is. There's also been a lot of talk about what they are and aren't doing during the national anthem. Some aren't singing it. That's been a controversy. That seems extreme. Like, not everyone's singing the national anthem. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people that you do not want singing the national anthem.
Yeah. Have these people been to, like, a baseball game or basically wherever the national anthem gets sung, which is almost exclusively at sports events? You don't hear 80,000 people in NRG Stadium singing the national anthem.
You hear some people singing it, and generally it's not good, and maybe it's the effort that counts. I don't know. But I will say I get why some people are mad about them not putting their hand on their chest. In the past, kneeling. The Federation said that they can't kneel anymore. Like, that's a polarizing topic that you feel one way or another about it. I've never had an issue with people protesting during the anthem, but after a certain point, it seemed like everybody was doing it for the sake of being cool as opposed to actually doing something to make a difference, right? Like, the first person who takes a knee, that person is noticeable. The rest of the people that do it, what are you really doing other than just continuing an annoying online discussion where everyone's trying to yell at each other over that? But Megan Rapinoe, in particular, has made herself a very easy target with a lot of the things that she has said. I know she's advocated for trans women actually being members of the U.S. women's team. And that's a whole nother subject, huh? A whole nother loaded one. But it feels like this team was really hated just online. And maybe it's only coming from one place. And obviously, when they lose, it's going to make more headlines than when they win, because everyone expects the U.S. women's team to win. But I was struck by the vitriol directed their way after this one. I really was. I don't really care, you know? Like, I was not going to wake up early to watch any of these games at any point. Yeah, I'll watch the highlights, but that's pretty much it. Even though women's soccer at times is actually, like, a tougher and more physical sport than men's soccer, these players actually have a little bit of honor to them. But this team, like, seems to have really been disliked, and it's interesting. And I think part of it has to do with, like, you know, going back to the first hour of the show when we were talking about Tim Anderson's fight with Jose Ramirez, when you talk a lot, you open yourself up for a lot of pushback when you fail. And I think that's what the U.S. women's team is finding themselves dealing with at this moment in time. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. An interesting development for one of Houston's young sports stars. We'll talk about that and more. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Brother never told you never threaten a man's family.
Look at our family now.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
A text. The Kobe people, man, there's something else. From the 832, Paul, take your own advice and Google Kobe in Colorado, and you will see that the alleged victim never cooperated with investigators in the case. Okay, let's pause for a second. Kobe read out an apology and a written statement, and she didn't want to testify. And if you go back in time and take a look at the way that Kobe's defense team was dragging her and the media was doing the same thing, I kind of understand why she wouldn't want to testify there. It was consensual sex. Were you there? Did you watch from a closet? And she took a payday. No, they went to civil court and she won because there was a lot of evidence there, man. Kobe is one of the greats to play the game. Where did I ever say that? And the guy says, by the way, you're not an athlete. That's from Eric in Jersey Village. Eric, I dare you to ever try to play me in sports, specifically football. I would embarrass you. I really would. I don't get these Kobe stands. It's like, that happened. And you can think about him as this lion figure in your mind, but that still happened. And he's made to be a saint. And it sucks that he died early. It seems like he learned from that incident in his life as well. But he's not one of the two greatest basketball players ever. Sorry.
That's all we're saying, is that he's not one of the two greatest basketball players ever.
I'm surprised by the amount of Kobe stands, because like there aren't the same level of Magic Johnson stands. And, I mean, couldn't you make the same case that Magic Johnson was one of the greatest basketball players to ever play?
Yeah.
That he was a much better teammate than Kobe Bryant?
Yeah. I mean, he won five titles with the Lakers with a Hall of Fame center next to him. Just like Kobe Bryant did.
But he won some more afterwards, too.
He has the same exact
except for
resume.
His career got cut short, like, in the middle of it, like, 12 years in, because he got HIV. And it's weird the lengths to which the Kobe people will try to defend him. Especially against the Colorado thing. Like, why are you trying to defend that? Were you a prosecutor? Did you actually have the case against Kobe Bryant and you realize, you know what, damn it, we don't got enough? Was that you, Eric, in Jersey Village?
Johnny Cochran.
Sure it was.
Johnny Cochran from Jersey Village texting
right.
into
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, guy who's not even living in the loop is telling us all about how he knew all about this case. Okay, cool. What was the other text that we got here? This one has to do with the U.S. women's team. The women are better than men. Do you think the men would lose to the under 15 boys? It's more that the women, relative to everybody else in their sport, are better than the rest of the countries. So there you go. Oh, this texter's mad. He's sending in a bunch.
I would destroy you in football, basketball.
Come on out then. Come on out. I'm going back into Houston Sports and Social Club. It's great to come back and realize, like, oh yeah, I am better than everybody else.
And this is coming full circle. I don't know what it is about Kobe Bryant, but a Kobe Bryant argument, a famous Kobe Bryant argument on Twitter, led to the one of the greatest tweets of all time. Meet me in Temecula, where two guys were arguing about Kobe.
Yeah,
literally were going to come fight each other in Temecula.
Now it's
come full circle where Paul is like, no, yeah, I'll play you and pick your sport. Yeah. It's something about Kobe just gets people riled up.
So, like, Eric, your argument's cute. We got it. You love Kobe. But sorry. The Colorado thing, acting like you knew what happened there, is just unbelievable, full of bleep
and
behavior.
And him, the last part, you're, by the way, you're not an athlete. Come on. It's the most wrong thing he said.
That's the most wrong thing. Spencer Tillman even said it. Text in, I'll play you in volleyball for Kobe's honor. You know what? Kobe's honor would be safe. We're playing volleyball. It would be very safe. All right. So this is the most recent development from Houston Texans training camp today. D'Amico Ryans told Tom Pelissero and Jane Slater that it will be C.J. Stroud who starts for the Texans in Thursday's preseason game against the New England Patriots. Okay. Okay. So we're not quite going, he is the starting quarterback, and perhaps this will turn into a weekly rotation. But if Stroud is starting the first preseason game of the season, I think there's a very good chance that Stroud's going to be the starting quarterback for the first game of the regular season, too. That's cool to see today. And that brings us to garbage time, because I want to talk about the other Houston athlete who is perhaps doing something to change others' perception of him.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, Jalen Green, Rockets guard, was seen hanging out with Basketball Wives legend Draya Michele, who is 38 years old. I've never seen the Basketball Wives television show. I'm assuming it's a lot like the Real Housewives of insert place, except for the wrinkle is these ladies only date basketball players. I'm sure that's a very, very entertaining show. It must be really good to watch what hot people do getting married to people who are successful in their individual fields. I'm sure these people are really deep and have a lot to offer. How are we feeling about Jalen Green, who is with the USA Select team that just beat the USA FIBA World Cup team in consecutive 10-minute scrimmages at training camp? How do we feel about Jalen Green hanging out with Draya Michele?
Listen, all last year, what did we say about the Houston Rockets? They need a veteran presence. Draya Michele's a veteran presence.
She is a veteran presence.
She's 38. She's Jeff Green's age.
She also is a nice thing for Jalen Green to be seen with, given the video he was seen with.
Can this go
offseason?
Can this go viral, please?
Yes, this should. He should do all he can to make this relationship go viral, so that we're not talking about he and Josh Christopher anymore, and some just good old fashioned horseplay. Back in my day, that was okay. Oh, these kids, now all of a sudden, now they're turning it different into something totally different. Horseplay used to be okay.
You're in the Shorecrest Preparatory football locker room whipping towels at each other.
Oh, yeah. Shoving brooms at people.
Okay.
Listen,
I didn't know you played for Northwestern.
That's what's most alarming about my Shorecrest High School experience is, like, there were some messed up stories, and luckily I was never a part of them, but I was like, what are we doing here? Oh, boy. Jalen Green, good for him.
Yeah, congrats to Jalen Green.
She is a lovely lady, and I don't think you should, like, age, it's just a number, people. It's just a number. I dated someone, when I was 25, I was dating somebody in their 40s. That was fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you, Paul.
It's a good time. It's a good time. Paul, were you a sugar baby? No, I wish. It would have been nice. It would have been nice to make some money off of that. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everyone who texted in, who called in, even Tab on a Boost mobile phone. Also on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Junior Broncos asks, what was his name, Paul? I guess we'll have to save that for another show. You'll have to wait. For Sean Mapes, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 on FM radio. AM is stupid.
Emotional damage.
610, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.